The gospel lesson this morning is from Luke's gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. You can follow along on page 57 in your pew Bible. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said,
"My soul magnifies the Lord,
and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen. Alice Parker, a composer, conductor, and teacher who's been shaping the universe of choral music for about 90 years, recently was interviewed on NPR. She began as a young woman studying conducting with Robert Shaw at Juilliard, collaborated with him on arrangements of folk songs and spiritual hymnals that are still performed around the world today. Alice Parker is also an amazing thinker and writer, wise and joyful woman. And she spoke recently about singing and how it touches and joins human beings in ways that few other arts can. She said this in an interview on NPR's On Being in response to being asked how it was to be on the Robert Shaw Choral. She said, "Watching those tiny babies develop, it just gave me this absolute conviction that babies, that's the language of babies. That's what they're born knowing. From the first utterance, it's all singing. And it takes a long time to learn the language, learn the words, and how to communicate from the brain. And there was nothing that I loved that I could sing to them that they didn't love and sing back, because the trade that's going on is not learning a song. It is human communication at its most elemental level, from the mother to the baby, wordless hum or something like that. Which also leads me to conclude that that song predates language, that the first way that humans communicate is with vocal sound, which is much closer to song than it is to thought out, measured, rational language." Maybe that's why in this season we'd love to sing. I love to sing in this season. We drive around singing. We're born into it, it would seem. Even if we can't hit all the right pitches, We still love to make the joyful noise to the Lord. Even in times when it's difficult, when pain or shock or sickness or depression can seem to take all the airs out of our lungs, and singing is the last thing we want to do, if we hear a song, or better yet, someone sings to us, it can amazingly heal us. If there was ever a person who did not have a reason to sing, it was Mary, and you heard this last week in Diane's sermon. You remember, she was probably about maybe 13 years old. In her day, she would have been much more property than a person. She was pregnant without the dignity of being married. The shock would have been enough to keep her from singing. Also, she's traveled probably about 80 miles to now meet with her elderly cousin. For our own, perhaps, Chuck Scheimer, who just completed the Appalachian Trail, that sounds like a short walk in the woods. But for a pregnant woman, the journey alone, added to the weariness and sickness that accompanies pregnancy, it would have been a strain, leaving little ability to sing. Unless we not forget, as I mentioned before, that her pregnancy story is scandalous and incredulous. The stress of telling it may have been enough to keep her from singing. And yet it was through the shock and the strain and the stress she yet sings. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called this song the most passionate, wildest, most revolutionary Advent hymn. Did you hear the passion? It's not a lullaby, friends. It's a revolutionary song. C.S. Lewis called the song terrifying. And yet it is not angry. It is a song that announces that the prayers of Mary's ancestors, one in particular, remember Hannah, the prophet Samuel's mother, she prayed and sung a very similar prayer. Prayers that were angry or vengeful and at times call for violence have not been really forbidden by God. Instead, God will answer in a redemptive way. There will be justice, there will be restoration, there will be joyous singing. All of Mary's announcements in this song were to come to fruition in the fruit of her womb. And she is so confident that she declares it as if it has already happened. She is singing hope and peace and joy. And so in spite of all the adversity, why is, though, Mary rejoicing? We must ask this because we are people who live in the strain and the stress of this time, asking questions that don't have easy answers, wondering why things are happening that seem to disrupt the peace that Christ would bring. We're in an in-between time, kind of like that pregnancy. For us, it's that time between the first and the second coming. How then can our attitude reflect Mary's joy? Well, first of all, true joy is not found in denying reality. Last week, I was watching the Christmas tree lighting ceremony at Rockefeller Square in New York. And that night, it was raining hard in New York City, but the show went on. Joy that is authentic, grounded in the Christ child whose life now fills our lives, grants us the ability to be joyful, to rejoice even amidst adversity. Jesus' unborn cousin, John, not yet aware of the life outside of Elizabeth's womb, leapt with joy when Mary arrived. That same word for joy in verse 44 is the same Mary uses in verse 46 for rejoices. The life in her that grew was already bringing joy to those around. She was bearing joy. I would suggest to you that the true joy is not what you see in commercials this time of year where children and adults are having some ecstatic spiritual experience over some toy or new car. One of the greatest conundrums of our time is that there's more blessings we have in the form of material abundance, the less joyful we tend to be. Abundance of stuff forges a ball and chain we carry from house to storage unit to finally losing at the charitable donation site just in time to start forging another one. Every year we go about our shopping and festival preparations as if this year will be different. This year the gladness will glow long past the hours it takes to rip off the wrappings, attend the parties in costume, and consume the traditional meal. We may even try to extend our gladness by reaching out to those in need in ways we do not year-round. But that question still haunts us. Why can't the Christmas spirit last throughout the year? Why can't it? Well, as French savant Pascal put it, a mere trifle consoles us, for a mere trifle distresses us. Maybe because true joy is the gladness that defies circumstance. Mary's gladness was grounded in a reality that was beyond sight and sound. The kingdom of God had come, and yet the king was growing in her, with no ability to live outside her protection. It is a wonderful paradox. The Lord of all the universe, fragile. It's reflected in this world around here, where the powerful were still persecuting the weak. Poor, still hungry with the rich gluttonous. And yet Mary's spirit was in tune with a song of liberation being sung by a baby who would become a man, who would declare that this world and its powers and problems have no power and authority over him. For he was coming to make all people rejoice, to make all things new, to make all people declare the goodness of God. Some would have to be humbled by God to know that joy, to be released from enslavement to those material idols, the ball and chain. Others would need to be lifted above their suffering, to be set free from a sorrow so as to feel the warmth of the gladness grow in them. But it was as good as here. And so it is today. We are this community, in tune with a song of liberation and the joy within us, when our thoughts and our wills and our actions resonate with that life within us, that Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus, the same that conceives that joy in us, makes it possible for that joy to grow. And as Paul says in Philippians 4:4, makes us ability to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Finding joy and rejoicing is not a simple-minded denial of the darkness around or in us. We don't deny the troubles and worries. Instead, we face them with the same confidence and boldness as Mary, whose response to the angel Gabriel to the news that this unwed teenager was going to bear God's son, she said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will." John Calvin commented, he said, "If we contrast Mary's poor estate with the high estate, we may see that Mary, in emptying herself, elevates God alone." This is no means of false humility, but the plain and sincere statement of a conviction that she had her heart fixed. Discovering joy like Mary did require the same conviction. We must be in tune with the Spirit. We must honestly reflect on the truth that the Mighty One has done great things for us. That means that before we go global, we need to believe it for ourselves. That very personal exchange, did you notice, between Mary and Elizabeth begins to spread the joy. And so it is in this quiet season of Advent, well, can be quiet. Maybe it's time for you and me to reflect on the life that grows in us in Christ. See, I think it's only when we reflect on what is growing that we know the fullness of the joy come Christmas morning. How are we bearing Christ? My first son's middle name is Christopher. He was named for my brother. And if you're familiar with the meaning of that word, it means Christ bearer. Christ bearer. How are we Christ bearers. See, I believe that as we allow that, we in tune with that song in our beings, that song that wells up in us, that song in tune with the Holy Spirit, we then come to experience a joy that will exude forth from us, will spread out. And the reason the moral world doesn't rejoice with us is we don't always let that joy out like Mary did. Friends, this is the season to do it. As we said in the children's sermon, to make room, to make the space for the song to echo forth in us and echo out into the world. Mary's song spans outward to these final verses. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. In other words, the joy starts in her own life, but it goes out to the world. It's meant to go there. It can't stay here. Advent forces us to wait for the fulfillment of what Mary's song is all about. But it does not mean that we wait in somber, tension-filled silence until December 25th. No, we are now to be the singers of the song of liberation, of a mighty God who has come to set all people free to sing. And although we all have different stuff in life, different blessings, curses, challenges, in the midst of all these experiences, though, we can rejoice. Mary, in spite of that stress and strain and shock, she sang. Regardless of what you think about your circumstances, you can glorify God and rejoice in God. For just as God was with Mary in the hardest time of her life, God is present in and around you, friends. Mary rejoiced in that knowledge with singing. So perhaps ask yourself today, why or why don't you believe that joy is prevalent in your life? Henry Nouwen recommends that one discipline that helps us live into the hope of this season is to take the gospel lessons to heart, to read the scriptures and believe them. Are their words to you? So today, I encourage you, when you go home, sing Mary's song to your own tune. Reflect on what great things God has done for you, how God has shown you mercy, how God has humbled you and filled you, how God has helped you and shown you his promise of faithfulness. You see, I believe as you and I do, we will realize that we are the bearers of this joy, this good news, this Christmas joy that others will respond to, others will be filled with, others will rejoice this season and beyond. Your job, my job, our privilege, our joy, is to be Christ bearers this day, to have within us the good news that sets people free. Share this news. Share it widely. Share it boldly. Share it no matter what life circumstances you are in this day, believing all the time that Christ is in you, your hope, your peace, and your joy. Blessed be the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen.